Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to an NCAA rugby podcast. It's kind of a bit of an unusual one. Basically, coronavirus has taken hold of the entire world, never mind the whole country. Rugby's postponed. And me and Chris are in separate locations, I think, for the first ever NCAA pod. We've definitely done a few podcasts where we've not been together. So we're over the phone for this one. So if there is any kind of audio issues, that is the reason why. Chris, how are things?
Yeah, it's unprecedented, this, isn't it, Joe? Self-isolation podcast. We've been on the road all season. I don't think we've recorded one at home so far. So the fact that we're having to do this is a bit new to us, but we want to try and give rugby fans something to listen to. Well, there's absolutely no rugby happening at all. So hopefully we can maybe just wrap up what's been going on in the National Leagues over the last couple of months and obviously get some thoughts from coaches and chairman about the current situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah, it's an unusual one, but well, Chris in particular has managed to rustle up four pretty superb interviews. We've talked to, let's try and do this with the leagues, by the leagues, Kieran Power from Roslyn Park, who of course is National One, then Gareth Davies, the DOR at Caldy, Tony Yap, the Taunton head coach, and then Barnes chairman Michael Whitfield. So Chris, firstly, brilliant list of interviewees there. Obviously, everyone's got a bit more spare time in their hand. Were they actually happy to talk to the press for once?
Yeah, I think all four of them are, especially Gareth. They straight away, we had a bit of a chat yesterday, Joe, didn't we, about what we can do on there in terms of getting some content out. And I think a podcast was a starting point, so we texted a few names and straight away they all got back to us and they're willing to talk about obviously the situation. But there's feel good stories around those clubs when you come to rugby. Obviously Roslyn Park had a title race, Caldy have silver around the bag, and Taunton Titans are top of their league, so there's feel good stories to discuss from those guys. And obviously Michael, who's been in contact with us quite regularly throughout the season, he's one of those chairmen who always like to keep us up to date with how their club doing, and he's a brilliant advert for chairman in the National Leagues, and he was all willing to talk to us about the situation and how it can affect the wider rugby union community. So all four willing to give their time up, which is exactly what we need at the moment.
Yeah, so basically rugby has pretty much been postponed until April the 14th at the earliest. Obviously there's still time for things to develop and things like that, but the official line is that it's April the 14th. And to kind of not prepare as such, but you know, kind of maybe that's hopefully when we're going to get some rugby back in our lives. Obviously, there's plenty of government advice out there about COVID-19 and stuff like that. So just listen to local government and local authority, not local government, national government, and then local authorities about what to do, kind of within the community and more further afield. Obviously, you've been away, Chris, and since then things have really seemed to hot up at the top of National One. Obviously, Richmond still top of the table, 97 points to Roslyn Park's 90. Quite exciting.
Yeah, it's obviously the wider picture of making sure everyone's health and well-being is top of the agenda is absolutely right, but from a selfish rugby point of view, it's quite frustrating that we've got to this period in the season and it's had to come to a halt because it is getting exciting. And I think that first sort of Friday I got back from holiday, it was a big massive game between Roslyn Park and Richmond, and Roslyn Park came out on top again, and it's just kept the title race alive in National One. I think if Richmond had got the 5 points there, I think it would be potentially done and dusted. But Roslyn Park's winners, captain, like you say, Joe, 7 points behind Richmond, and you can't really rule Rams out of the equation. I know they had the 5 point deduction last month, which is just not them backsliding, but they got a win on the weekend against Cinderford, so you know they're only a point further back from Roslyn Park, so they've got to still be in the frame, and you know it's still up for grabs. But when this title race, if this title race does resume, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it is exciting, and it's once again going down to the wire in National One, which we love to see.
And you spoke to Kieran Power, Roslyn Park's head coach, earlier today, and here's what he had to say.
First of all, it's really to reach out to the players and see where they were at, see that we were in constant sort of contact with them over the weekend with things going on and advisements that were coming out from the government. Just to make sure everyone was still okay and we had no incidents or anything like that, and then just let them know to hold tight at this moment in time until we come along with a plan ourselves as a club to how we go forward and deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And in terms of you as a coach, Kieran, it must be really tough going into tonight, obviously being Tuesday, and you were probably planning for the training session, looking ahead to the weekend. So for you, what's it like for you as a coach to make sure you keep the players on their toes during this difficult period?
I think it's to make them realise that, rugby isn't gone. It's only away for a month. It will be also a good respite when we look at it to get a few players back. we were a little bit short injury-wise and we're coming to it spread. So this time now, that's quite good for us. But to stay on top of them, we've got a very good sort of S&C team that are reaching out to them this week, giving them ideas of what they can do, whether they're at home or can get to a gym. And just to make sure lads are ticking over, to make sure that they don't lose too much fitness in this time off now.
Yeah, and obviously we're going into a bit of an uncertain period, Kieran. We're not sure what's going to happen over the next 4 or 5 weeks or so. But from a Roslyn Park point of view, how keen are you guys and to see the end of the season completed? Because there's so much still to be decided at all levels of the game.
Oh, definitely. To what season can be done now and how can you rearrange and not impact the season, we get to see. But no one wants to finish off what has been so far a successful season for us in this manner. I don't think Richmond or any of the other teams, top or bottom, would want to go out this way. I think everybody wants to have their sort of last day to, say that's it, call it quits at the end of the season and get together as a group and celebrate what they've done that year. So, that's something we want to do. That's something we want to sort of try and make sure happens. But I think it's a little bit out of our hands now. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, because a lot of our outsiders looking in, Kieran, might say, well, of course, Roslyn Park are going to say that because of the position you guys are in. But it is about the wider clubs. There is the title race. It is relegation. So it does affect every club, no matter where you are in the league.
Oh, completely. Not just our league, ones below, people with aspirations coming up, the championship above us as well. It's a huge knock-on effect on rugby. And also, I think, with some of these games being called off in the next month, revenue for sides that probably need that for home games is going to be a major factor, to keep their clubs going and stuff like that. And with the use of facilities at some of the clubs, especially at ours as well, not being able to have that facility in use, it's dead money for clubs and it's going to be a tough time.
And obviously, it's a very serious time as well, Kieran. Obviously, the health and well-being of people is first and foremost. But from a rugby point of view, if you don't mind, you obviously finished sort of the season off so far with an excellent win against Richmond. And that sort of has kept you in this title race. Just looking back at that, Kieran, how pleased were you by the performance from your guys a couple of Fridays ago?
Yeah, it was guts and determination. I think we've taken a few blows injury-wise. We had a tough day in the office the week before against Chinner, where we lost by a couple of points. And it was a little matter of, this is our little cup final. Whatever happens in the league, we've got to go out and try and take this one today at home. Big crowd, Friday night, real special occasion for the guys. And it's sort of like we just said, turn around and let's enjoy it. Just go out there and just, give it what you got and let's see where that ends us at the end of the 80 minutes.
Yeah, because 12 months ago you were in a pretty similar situation, Kieran. You were still in the picture for promotion. What's changed this season for you guys, or have you sort of learned from last year and now you're taking it into this running?
We're getting that group together, so that learning is there. We've added a few more extra key players into our armoury, like Craig Holland, Henry Cheeseman, Sam Toomey. These guys came through bringing wealth of experience and potential that sort of spurred us on a little bit this year, and hopefully we'll take that on, and whatever happens this season, we'll keep that group together. Hopefully we'll be able to add to it and take another step next year. And see where it can take us.
Yeah, and just finally from me, Kieran, obviously we all have fingers crossed that the season does get completed this year. If you were to maybe get into that top spot this year, what would it mean for Roslyn Park? Because you guys have been knocking on the door for the last couple of years now.
Yeah, we went through a transition here a couple of seasons ago, and to come through that and sort of rejuvenate the club. And to come third this year, last season, and be in second spot this season, and maybe get to the top of the summit is something the club hasn't done and want to do, and that's the first thing we want to achieve. And once we do that, we'll celebrate as a club together and take on the challenges of the league above after that.
Thank you very much to Kieran for his time there. Chris, what was so obvious there was that he kind of well, not kind of, he does want to finish the season because they're only 7 points adrift, and really in rugby that's not terrifically, that's not a lot really.
No, it's not. I mean, Kieran's message was not just for Osney Park, was it? He said there that, you know, Richmond probably don't want the season to finish, but you've got teams down at the bottom, you know, Rotherham, Birmingham, Moseley, two teams that are realistically the two sides fighting out for survival now in National One. So they won't want the season to finish just yet. And I think financially as well for these clubs, you know, the gate receipts to get, the people coming down to the clubs who spending their money on the lunch on a match day and et cetera, et cetera. It's a massive thing. So they will want these next five games to go ahead. So, you know, Kieran spoke well there about the coronavirus situation, about how it does, you know, the players have just got to look after themselves and make sure that, you know, they're not doing anything that they shouldn't be doing in terms of against the government guidelines. So I think everyone in rugby, I think if you speak to most clubs in the National League, they'll want the season to continue, and fingers crossed that it might not be April, but it could be further down the line that this season does continue, because it'd be a shame if it had to conclude now.
Yeah, of course. In National One, Hull Irons and Canterbury already relegated, which is why Rotherham and Birmingham Moseley is the most exciting thing down there at the foot of that table. 4 points separate the two sides, both of which have got 25 games in the bag, so they're very, very close to one another. National 2 North, the other week, Coldy wrapped up the title on their immediate return to National 1. 25 wins from 25. They've scored over 1,000 points this season and only conceded 279. Filed currently in second, but Chris, I mean, this one, this league, it does seem, it felt like it was wrapped up a long time ago.
Yeah, I think nail on the head there, Joe. I think it's been done for a while. As much as I love a title race in the National Leagues, it really makes everything a lot more interesting. But Coldy have been absolutely faultless since coming down. You know, they went down on the final day of last season in heartbreaking circumstances. I'm pretty sure it was a late try, which they conceded against Birmingham Moseley, which sent Coldy down. But they've not, you know, they've not sort of dwelled on that disappointment. They've kept the large bulk of that squad together. And Gareth brought a couple of coaches in as well, and they've been absolutely brilliant. I mean, they made the Northwest Tonight, which is the BBC News programme at 6:30 in this part of the world, a number of times this season. And it's quite clear to see why 25 wins from 25 is massive. And if the season just does continue, they'll be eyeing up some more records, because I think the highest amount of wins a team's ever got in this league is 28, and Coldy are very much on course to match that and probably break that. So they've been brilliant and thoroughly deserved to be lifting silverware this early on in the season.
Yeah, of course. I don't think a team in the West Midlands is ever going to make the news, to be honest. So it's very impressive what they've been able to achieve in the media this year. You spoke to Gareth, I believe, early today as well, and he kind of talks a bit more about ambitions for the rest of the season, if it does obviously go ahead, and his thoughts on the coronavirus.
Disappointed. Understandable. Obviously, there's always a bigger picture here, isn't there? So it's all about, it's not really about rugby at the moment, so, or sport in general. I know there's a lot of men sat there, bored, senseless, but it's not really about that. It's more about, it's just more about protecting people, and obviously we have lots of vulnerable members and things like that, so we just need to be careful. So it's the right thing to do for everybody, I'm sure.
Yeah, you mate, it was quite a surreal weekend with no sport on the TV, Gareth. But I mean, for you guys as a club, I mean, what are you going to do in terms of the players at the moment? Because obviously your job's done in terms of winning the league, but it was all about continuing and ending the season strongly for you guys. How do you sort of manage the players during this time?
Yeah, they're asking me the same questions, really, and I think, you know, the RFU has decided that, you know, there's no training, there's no anything, so we've just told them all to obviously look after themselves, and as far as I know, you know, probably the bulk of them will still go to the gym and try and maintain their fitness levels. Obviously there's nothing like playing a game, but and then we see what happens on the 14th of April.
Yeah, they won't be out celebrating still, will they?
No, it was a fairly long celebration. No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Just to go back to that moment, and Gareth, as we spoke, I think it was at the start of February, and you were a couple of games away from securing it, and you said it would be massive for all the coaches, the players involved. I mean, what was it like then to finally get the job done a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, we've done it twice. Well, I've been involved now twice when we've done it. And, this was they're just a very special group of people. I know probably everyone says that, but having done it twice and being involved at this level of a club since I was 28, so what's that, 15 years, they're a really close, tight-knit group of coaches and players, and it was a just reward for the hard work that I know they've put in all year round.
Yeah, because you mentioned last time we spoke as well, Gareth, the coaches themselves have put such a lot of work in this season, so how proud for you when you turn around at full-time all it was to celebrate with the likes of Matt, because you guys are putting the same amount of work as the players have.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And a relief, because obviously, I mean, last time we did this, it was last game of the season, yeah. Second to last game of the season when we secured the title, so there was loads of pressure involved. This year we've obviously done it with 5 games to go. Whether we get to play those 5, I don't know, but I mean, there was a bit as well, I suppose. There was a bit of, well, we've still got 5 games to go, and the goal at the start of the season was that we don't lose a game. So I think as well as obviously relief at getting the title, there was also a bit of, we have got another job to do, so, we move on.
Yeah, and obviously recognition on BBC News as well, I've noticed, over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it would appear there's someone who's a bit of a fan on the Northwest Tonight or whatever programme it was. But it's great that people acknowledge you. I've had loads of real nice messages from other clubs as well, and clubs have been involved in the battle. That's what it's all about. It's all about community, and obviously we all get together at this time and see if we can help each other.
Yeah, because I noticed I was going to come on to the messages. A lot of clubs, I mean, Sale FC, a team you were battling a couple of years ago, they were quick to message you after the full-time whistle when you won the league. And obviously the main talking point as well, Gareth, is the fact that you've won 25 games in a row. And I know we're not sure what's going to happen with the league fixtures for the rest of this season, but is there a slight determination from you guys that you want to try and go 30-0?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's it. Like, as I say, at the start of the season, that was my... my goal for the season, and it applied to both teams. So we have got a second team that haven't lost a game either. So, sort of the instruction to players and coaches was this is what I think we're capable of. You don't think it's going to happen because it doesn't happen very often, but that's what we set out to do. So, from both teams, sort of, at the moment we are unbeaten. And I would have doubt it's happened in very many clubs before.
Yeah, because I think there's a couple of records I was noticed the other day that you can still break. It's the number of wins. I think the highest might be 27 or 28. And you're very much 28, and I think you're very much on course for breaking the highest record points total, which might be 133, but I'll have to double check that. So again, so those two records again must be a driving force, as well as maybe going the season unbeaten.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? I'm big on stats. I love stats. day job. I think quite a lot of them sort of, we've got various WhatsApp groups and you see them flying around. Look, we could do this, if we knuckle down and break some records and leave our names in the history books if we haven't already.
Yeah. And just finally, for me, Gareth, what is the next step then? Obviously, the next 5 games is unsure at the moment, but you're hopefully wanting to see them out. But it's all about now one eye on focusing the next season, as well as trying to continue this season and finish high on a high.
Yeah, finish this season off. Hopefully we get the opportunity to play later on in the year. Obviously no one knows anything, do they, at the moment. So. And then we've already started prepping in terms of National One, what we might need, and obviously we need to do all the deciding on how pre-season's going to run, and I suppose we have to put plans in place even if they don't come to fruition than we think they're going to.
At the foot of National 2 North, things are kind of a bit more up in the air, it's fair to say, than National 1. Scunthorpe relegated, currently sitting on 6 points, having lost all 25 games this season. Preston Grasshoppers down, but not yet out, but on 29 points. And then the jump up from there is Otley on 52. between Otley and Wharfdale, there's only 7 points. Is it seven? Am I going mad? Yes.
Yeah, no, seven. Wow. Seven, Joe. And I mean, you just said that, but with the National One title, the title race, that 7 points isn't a massive gap in rugby. So if you look at this, you know, there's a lot of teams still in the mix, and you may not have expected some of these teams like Sheffield Tigers to be down there. They had a really strong start to the season, but they're now only 4 points above the drop zone, and wins for Otley, Huddersfield and Wharfdale last weekend were absolutely massive for them. But if you were Wharfdale and Huddersfield thinking, what a win that is, that could keep us safe. And then you go and look at the Otley's result against Luttonians, and Otley have won, then, you know, it just really blow this relegation fight wide open. And this is why you can't, for me personally, this is why teams will want to see the league carry on as whenever it will be, because it's so tight down there. And if you're Otley, you now have a really fighting chance of staying up. So it's really tight, and hopefully we'll get to see the conclusion of what is set to be a thrilling end to the season down at the foot of National 2 North.
And the thing is, it couldn't be more exciting at the top of National 2 South. Taunton currently top with 101 points, Tunbridge Juddy in second with 98, Redruth third with 96, and Henley in fourth with 95. Now, I think three of those four teams have all been top at some point this season.
Yeah.
What a ridiculous title race we've been given this year in National 2 South.
It's been probably a three-horse race for quite a while. Mm. And then Redruth have managed to say, well, hang on a minute, and win 13 games in a row, I think it is, to get themselves absolutely banging in this title race. I mean, we've said it a number of times over the last couple of years that it's always been maybe a two-horse race at the top of National 2 South, so both teams have been guaranteed those top two spots. But this year's fantastic, and it seems to be ever-changing at the top. One week it's Tunbridge, Juddians, and Henley might sneak up there. Taunton now find themselves up there after that win against Easter at the weekend. So, again, similar to the bottom of National 2 North, this is what we want to see, and we don't want Henley Hawks finishing in fourth, play 25 on 95 points. They will want to be fighting till the very end because it's so close, and I can imagine all four of those teams, and even Taunton, will want this season to carry on, because they will want to, if they do get over the line, they'll want to show the fans and repay their support for all the hard work they've put in this season. So, really good title race at the top of National 2 South.
Yeah, and obviously I'm looking at the table at the second. What's at the moment, I need to learn English one of these days. And Taunton, top with 101 points. Four of those points are losing bonus points. They've actually not won as many games as Tunbridge Juddians have in second. So tell me how important those losing bonus points are.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Redruth obviously have matched the same amount of wins as them, and have also picked up a draw, Redruth. So they've, I mean, Taunton have lost, like you say, Joe, they've lost five, which is one more than Tunbridge and Redruth. So that's how, you know, they may look at a game way back at the start of the season when they managed to pick up a losing bonus point, Taunton, from one of those five defeats, and that could be the difference. So, that again, that's why you want to see this season continue, so because it's so tight at the top.
Yeah, of course. And you spoke to the head coach of Taunton. The head coach was the director of rugby. Oh, God. Head coach of Taunton, Tony Yap, about the title race and, you know, what it's going to be like these next few weeks, kind of not been able to coach. Because, of course, it's a very unique situation we find ourselves in currently. And here's Chris's chat with Tony now.
First of all, Tony, let's just go back to yesterday evening, where the RFU announced that all rugby at all levels would be suspended for the foreseeable future. I mean, what are your immediate thoughts on the situation we find ourselves in?
Yeah, I think it's disappointing. I think a number of sports have been affected by this as well. And, you know, I think from a rugby point of view, we've got to sort of play the line. But, you know, in the meantime, everything's been turned upon its head, and it makes it very difficult for everybody, especially the sort of the lower league clubs that rely on the gate receipts and the guys coming in to fund their clubs. So I think it's very difficult at the moment, but, you know, we just need to fall in line with everyone else.
Yeah, and you mentioned there, Tony, it is tough for these lower league clubs who do rely on people coming down on a Saturday afternoon. And I know Taunton's a really big community club and has a really good family feel around the place. So is it tough because it isn't just about the Saturday afternoon for you guys?
Yeah, it is tough. We do a lot of conferencing at the club as well. You know, that's affected at the moment. You know, there's a lot of businesses and companies pulling out of the meetings they've been running at the club, which obviously affects our income as well. We had three home games left before this has happened, which is obviously pretty big for us at the moment with the situation we find ourselves in the league. So it is disappointing. You know, most of our guys are pay-as-you-play. Well, they all are pay-as-you-play. So, from that point of view, there'll be no real outgoings. But it's still very difficult. And I know a lot of clubs already are starting to panic a little bit about how they're going to get by.
Yeah, and in terms of the playing aspects of things, Tony, how do you, as a coach, how do you sort of react to this? Because obviously you'd be going into Tuesday today, you would have been preparing for a Tuesday night training session. So how do you, you know, sort of keep the players on track, if you like, during this difficult time?
Yeah, it is very difficult. I think it's sort of unsure as to what to do at the moment. You know, on one hand, you want to keep everyone ticking over and everybody fit, but you don't know when it's going to, you know, when we're going to get the opportunity to come back. It might be, hopefully, the middle of April, but it may be not until next season. So it's very difficult because I think when the news broke last night, most people, you know, it was on our WhatsApp group before anyone had a chance to really read through it properly. So the boys were aware of it before we got in touch with them. And then, you know, it's then difficult to sort of work out, you know, how we're going to plan. You know, we're not allowed to coach, we're not allowed to train, we're not allowed to do anything. So it's almost, you know, normally you'd like to get everyone in, have a meeting and chat about what you want to do and how we're going to go forward. But that's obviously going to all have to be done, you know, via the WhatsApp group or via phone call. So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, really. But, I'm hopeful the guys will do the right thing and first and foremost look after themselves and then, you know, just try and keep ticking over.
Yeah, and you mentioned there, Tony, obviously the main thing is to look after their health and wellbeing and everyone involved in rugby at the moment. But from a rugby point of view, Tony, do you expect the season to be back running in April, or do you think that's just a benchmark at the moment?
I don't know. I think if you ask 10 people, you'll probably get 10 different answers.
Yeah.
You know, I would love it to finish the season. You know, I'm sure there are a number of sports that are thinking exactly the same thing. You've only got to look at football at the moment, the Premier League, to see, you know, the impact it's had there as well. And, you know, I think, you know, everybody's desperate for it to blow over almost and get back to it and get back to normal. But, you know, as it is at the moment, you know, we can only take the advice of the professionals and the people that know a lot more, that certainly know a lot more than us. And like I say, just toe the line. In the meantime, just sort of, like I say, everyone's got to look after each other and work hard to get through it.
Yeah, and on to rugby now, Tony, which is what we all like to discuss. And obviously, it's been a really good season for you guys. And I mean, we spoke actually a couple of seasons ago, and you said, you know, always around the winter period is a difficult time for you guys, but you seem to have got through that, and you now find yourselves in a position where you are top of the league as things stand. I mean, how important was that win at the weekend for you guys against Leicester?
Yeah, you know, I think it was important. It's nice to be sort of sat at the top of the league at this stage after 25 games. But, you know, trust me, you know, we are desperate for the season to finish. You know, if we were to finish top, we'd love to do it properly. And, you know, I think there are teams at both ends of the table, not just in our league, in other leagues as well, that are desperate for this season to finish properly. You know, we're no different. So, the winter months have tended to be a bit of a banana skin for us. You know, it usually coincides with us losing a couple of the Navy guys that we've got on board with us at the moment, or have done over the last few years, and, you know, unavailabilities or injuries. And, you know, this league, you've only got to lose one or two games, you're almost out of the running. So, yeah, to get through the winter months this time round was excellent. You know, I think our form since Christmas has been very good. I think we picked up 40 out of 45 points, and, you know, we're enjoying this running and enjoying the challenge of being in the top three or four teams.
I mean, what's changed, do you think, Tony, from the last couple of years for you guys? Is it that sort of experience you've built up over the last few years?
I think so. I think if you look at our squad, there's a lot of familiar faces. But, you know, I think we handed out 7 or 8mugs this year for guys that played 100 games, and a lot of those guys are sort of in their early 20s. So, you know, I think the experience those guys have gained over the last few years has been great. I think if you look at last year, we didn't lose too many players. You know, I think we've been the victim of our own success over the last few years with our best players moving on to play at a higher level. And it's always difficult to see players go, but they always go with our best wishes, with a view that one day they may come back, and hopefully they will come back, and they'd always be welcome. You know, Dan Lee has made a big difference. He's come back from Cornish Pirates this year, and, you know, I think the squad in general is a little bit more experienced. We've got a little bit more depth. We've got, you know, a very good Warriors team as well, and, you know, that just pushes the standard in training. And, it's nice to have people fit throughout most of the season and available, and that's certainly made a massive difference.
Yeah, and you mentioned pushing the standards there, Tony, and, I mean, you look at National 2 South, especially towards the top this year. It's been pretty relentless between four or five teams, and you're definitely in there. Is that also driven you on because of how competitive it has been?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we keep saying it, and, you know, we are just taking one week at a time, and I think every team will say the same thing. But, you know, we're well aware that if we slip up just once, then we could drop down three or four places. So, you know, the good thing for me is, you know, this year the boys have sort of really grasped that. They've really sort of, you know, enjoyed the challenge of sort of being in the top two, three places and pushing on. And like I say, for it all to end so abruptly yesterday, is quite difficult. But, you know, they're very pleased with, you know, with the attitude of the boys and the excitement surrounding
you know, what was going to be a very good run-in.
Yeah, and I think you've mentioned it just finally, Tony. I mean, if this season was to resume, and we all hope it does in the near future, how much would it mean for the club if you were to go on and finish in those top two places and finish at the top of this league?
Yeah, it would mean a lot. You know, I'm a big believer that, you know, if you're the best team in the league, you deserve to go up. But, you know, I've been told on a number of occasions over the last few years, is this the chance? Is this your time to move up? And, you know, we've always said that we're certainly not going to break the bank to get the league above. We're going to keep putting in place, hopefully, you know, foundations that will allow us to move up when we're ready. And when we're ready, we'll be happy to make that step, and the club are keen to move forward, but I say not at the expense of spending money that we haven't got. You know, and this year we're just fortunate. We've got a very good group of players. You know, they're very committed. You know, the commitment levels over the last 4 or 5 years have really sort of risen at the club, and, you know, very rarely do the guys have training, and they're all very ambitious and desperate to play at the next level. So, you know, all that together just bodes well for us. So hopefully with pushing on.
Many thanks to Tony for his time there. His sister Jo might not be going to America anymore with the Barbarians, might she?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? All rugby full stop has come to a halt. So, yeah, I mean, as Tony says there, you know, he's keen for rugby to continue when it's safe to do so. And the Taunton have been so close to knocking on the door of the top two over the last couple of years, but they've got that experience, and they've got a squad which has been together for the last couple of years. And as Tony says there, they've hopefully now found sort of the right formula that can take them up international one, or at least into the playoff. So they'll be hoping it's the former, and they do get the job done if rugby does resume. So yeah, fingers crossed for Tony that that's the case.
Yeah, of course. And we'll move a bit further down at table, because you spoke to Michael Whitfield, the chairman of Barnes. Barnes currently, well, not currently, but it does seem like they've escaped any sort of relegation worries in National 2 South. They are 7 points ahead of Westcliff, and then 20 points ahead of Sutton and Epsom, who are the team at the top of the relegation zone. We'll have your chat with Michael now, and then we'll just kind of have a brief chat to kind of wrap things up, if that's all right, Chris?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, here is Chris's chat with Michael now.
My reaction is that I think it was the right thing. You can't have community rugby taking place when the rest of the world is closing down sports. And, I just think from my perspective, it would be absolutely ludicrous for that to be the case. So I think it's the right decision. Whether 4 weeks is a cop-out, and because there's no way that this virus is going to be absolutely resolved in 6 months, in 4 weeks' time. It's going to be, you know, 2-3 months, and we're well past the end of the season at that stage. So, yeah, bottom line is that yes, it's good that we put some distance for the rugby players and the supporters and the kids, as well as the adults, between them and each other. During this time, I think that suspending it till Easter is, as I say, it's just a cop out on the basis that I'm afraid that we all know that the games aren't going to be able to be played after then, and unless there is some. I was listening to something else this morning where they were talking about what they might do in the Premier League and just play the playoffs. Well, you know, how do you then apply that? My reaction was, I'm pleased that a decision has been made by Bill Sweeney and the rest of the team. My second reaction is that 4 weeks isn't long enough, and we're going to find ourselves in a position where we need to be able to make plans for financial commitments to be made as a club, and that means turning around and cancelling things, and then haggling about giving that money back because we can't afford to pay for services we haven't actually used them. That would be an absolute disaster to pay for pitches and other services that we subscribe to. And therefore, you know, I think that it's really important that we get some clarity after this April date, and the sooner the better.
Yeah.
So that's my reaction, I guess.
Yeah, because you've mentioned a number of points there, Michael, and one of those is the fact that clubs at National 1, National 2, North and South level will be affected by this, because as you quite rightly said, you know, you are paying to use facilities, and if you're not using them, you're not going to get the money back because you aren't playing on a Saturday afternoon, for example. So how hard is it for a club like Barnes, who are obviously a great community club, a great family club, when you cannot put a team out on a Saturday afternoon to get people down to watch the club?
What will it do? Well, you know, the group I feel the sorriest for is those players that have come all the way through our minis and juniors and are in transition to adulthood, so the Colts. And they will have not, they're being robbed of that transition, really, because, you know, we were going to, the ones that are old enough would have paid, we would have gotten some second team rugby, some exposure there. There are a number of tours and things that have been arranged, and that tradition of you know, these players going away at the end of a season, their rite of passage from junior rugby into mini rugby into junior rugby, and then for the first time ever in Barnes history, after 10 years, we have kids that would be able to play adult rugby next year, and we've robbed them of that opportunity, and I think that's a real shame. As a community club. It's on a Saturday morning and a Sunday morning to see the village absolutely full of kids wearing their shirts. I mean, we've got 670 minis and juniors now, and it's a massively thriving junior community, and we've got 60 women playing now and 60 girls playing now as well. So you know the It's really hard for a club like ours, and we are financially solvent. I'm not worried about that. I think we can put in the reins very quickly. But I think it's a massive disappointing way to finish the season for the younger folks, and the kids and their tours and, you know, they, and that sort of thing. So as a club, you know, we're I think for the first team, second team, and the other adult male or female teams, they can live with it, you know. And right. It depends on what the ruling will be by the NCAA on, do we just reset, start the season as though nothing happened, or do we just take the positions as they are now? Mm. I'm sure that's a question you'll have. But so from my point of view, disappointment is for the youngsters. They're not going to get that rite of passage from one age group, which minis to juniors and from juniors to adults, which they would have got because we would have celebrated it. Proper lunch and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season.
Definitely, Michael, because one of the things you mentioned in your previous answer as well was you don't expect that sort of benchmark, I think it was the 14th of April, the RFU has said to be when rugby actually resumes. So do you think it's important for the wider picture of rugby that this season does finish, or is it just first and foremost making sure the health and wellbeing of players, staff, officials, etc. is the main focus?
The focus is the latter.
Yeah.
We have to look after players, the supporters, the people that sort of man the bar, the parents, the coaches, you know, we've got to look after them all, and rugby is a game that we all love, and it will be around in 6-12 months time, and I'd like to make sure that all our players and their supporters and the coaches are too. So I think that whilst a decision had to be made yesterday. I think it's a halfway house.
Mm.
We're going to have massive fixture pile up with. Otherwise, I mean, there are clubs like Old Redcliffians, for example, who've got 7 games left. We've got 5 games left. Other teams have got 6 games left. They're just not going to be feasible to play those. So I don't know how it'll be worked out, but I certainly don't think there was no way after Easter mentally. Most players are, there are a couple of games normally left after Easter. I think the 25th, I think off the top of my head, is the last game that we were scheduled to play. But then you've got playoffs and things like that too. What do I think? I think that there is no way that it will resume after Easter. I don't think we'll be near the peak of the virus by then.
Many thanks to you, Michael, for his time there. Some quite interesting thoughts that maybe aren't exactly at the forefront of our minds as people not involved with clubs.
Yeah, it was interesting because I asked them the question about, you know, how does it affect the club on a financial basis, and he quickly said, well, it's more about the players, you know, it's more about maybe not even the first team players or the second team players, about these players who are taking that step maybe from Colts into the first team setup, and their sort of last development of being a Colt and going into the senior setup is may have been taken away from them because of the situation we find ourselves in. Maybe they've got one final tour that they've planned together as a team before that, you know, they take that step into more senior rugby. And that was an interesting viewpoint from a player's perspective, that, you know, for Michael to say that viewpoint from a player's perspective, how they must be feeling at the moment. So, you know, and he was obviously quick to say that he doesn't expect the season to continue in April, and he feels that it could roll on and on, but he would love to see the season finished as much as anyone. So it really, really unprecedented times. It's tough for us, Joe, to try and put a podcast together where we want to talk about the results and we want to talk about the upcoming games, but we just don't know what's coming around the corner. Everything's changing. So, but like I said at the top of the podcast, it's really good that these guys, Michael, Tony, Gareth and Kieran, have given up the time to speak to us today. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, we really do. There might be another pod in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we've been away for a couple of months, so we're going to maybe do another one in a couple of weeks, talking to two of the teams that have already been confirmed for promotion to the NCAA next September. That's kind of what we've got in the that's what we've got in the fire at the minute. Other than that, we're just going to kind of we're having a bit of a content planning session tomorrow, aren't we, Chris? Over the phone again.
if there's any National League clubs who have a feel good story at this time that you want to share, please get in touch. We'll more than happy look into it and maybe get something on the website. If you've any sort of feel good stories about players, coaches, physios, groundsmen, tea ladies, etc., you know, we'll be interested to, because as much as rugby stops, we don't want to stop producing the content. So anything that any clubs have they want to share, please get in touch.
Yeah, really odd times, Chris. It's very odd. I mean, every time I go into a supermarket, we always have to check one aisle at the minute. Odd times to be alive.
Yeah, it's very strange, you know, to sort of have all the sport going on sort of this time last week, and then for pretty much everything to come to a halt. It was a bit of a strange weekend with nothing really on the TV in terms of sport to watch. So, it's going to be, you know, football obviously is probably one of the earliest sports that have said they may come back. Which is, I think, the start of April. But with rugby, yeah, we're still going to be waiting for just under a month now to see where we go. So I think we just have to wait to see what the RFU decide over the next few weeks or so.
And obviously, you want the football to carry on because Liverpool could be they're on the edge of something historic here.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Twitter has been not the best place to be over the last few days, with loads of rival fans deciding to have a bit of light-hearted banter with Liverpool supporters on Twitter. But, you know, obviously, for me, from a selfish point of view, it's frustrating. You know, you want to see Liverpool win the league, and I think that's the same with the National Leagues. Richmond will want to win the league and get over the line and do it properly. But at the moment, the first and priority has to be the well-being of these players, fans, officials, people who work at these clubs. So you've got to be a bit grown up about it and just deal with it at the moment, and hopefully we do get to see some sport soon.
A month without sport, Chris?
Literally the most annoying thing to happen after coming back from holiday, but it is what it is.
Dry times ahead. Thank you very much for listening to this NCAA Rugby podcast. Sorry if the audio is not exactly as pristine as maybe we're all used to. Interesting times call for interesting setups and situations. There'll be another pod in the next few weeks, no doubt. Hopefully not over the phone. Hopefully we're all out of our houses again. And, yeah, I'm sure you'll hear us next time.